Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims hair loss solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride, minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, they got spray and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there's no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, no insurance is needed. And one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinkingbros. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Talking about Mood.com's incredible line of functional gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with the promo code BROS. Love this company. Shit, dude. I just took their Sleepy Time gummies the last two nights. It said on the package, hey, dude, you'll be out in 15 minutes. Said on the website, you'll be out in 15 minutes. That is never, ever true. Holy shit, did these take me down. And I got the best sleep of my life the last two nights, man. It's been incredible, dude. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes, like I just told you. And take you to the mood you're looking for. So whether it's that mind magic gummies for deep work or creativity, my wife does the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or they got their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for action and turn every touch into a full body experience. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high to pretty much, you know, wherever you need, anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes, and everything ships discreetly right to your door. Mine came in like a shoebox. It was great, but I also ordered a shit ton of these. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. They've got THC products for everyone, and the taste is lights out. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code BROS. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use promo code BROS when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinking Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to cardomax.com. Use the promo code DB. That's cardomax.com, helping you achieve your max. Yes! Welcome to Drinking Bros. We're drinking on a Saturday here, D'Anthony. We got a special guest who's in town in Austin.
I'm actually drinking water.
Are you really?
Yeah, but there's...
I'm also drinking water.
There's mushrooms.
But there is mushrooms in the water.
There's mushrooms in the water.
It's a mushroom beverage.
And by the way, if you think they're joking, I watch them pour it in. You've got the liquid mushrooms there. There it is. Show that to the camera.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
If you're a law enforcement agent, this is actually just colored MCT oil and not colored in the traditional sense.
Well, that's Easter egg dye. We don't say the word colored anymore, okay?
Paz, right?
Paz.
Owned by Adolf Paz. No, that's for real. That's a joke from 30 Rock, goddammit. I didn't make that shit up. I actually don't know what the dude's name is, but she said, Tina Fey said his name was Adolf Paul.
Okay.
Paul, so.
Well, if it is, it is. If it is,
cancel
it is.
Her, not me. I'm just repeating what she said.
Look, we'll all be canceled by the end of this episode.
That's the goal, dude. That's the only way I'm going to have a career is if I get canceled.
You have to.
No, you got
to
get canceled.
Everybody who gets canceled has a better
ends
career.
Ends up having a great career. Yes. And like diehard fans and they sell out tours.
Dude, it's the best.
I need that. Cancel me, please.
Tim Dillon's making fucking, 1.2 off of Patreon?
Patreon.
Yeah.
A month.
One show he does.
Dude, crazy.
A week.
Crazy.
On Patreon.
Yeah.
And I believe, is it
just
audio and video?
Just because he said fat people don't exist.
Well, he said a lot more than that. I think he got banned by Airbnb, for Christ's sake.
Wait, he said fat people don't exist? What does that mean?
No, he had this whole rant on fat activism.
Yeah, it's fucking
hilarious.
Yeah,
that's is there another, I guess, lifestyle choice that people rally around that literally kills you?
Yes, there's a ton of
them. When are we going to get a diet? We've got a flag for everything else. Can we get a diabetes flag? And it's just a fucking, it's an American flag, but in the center of it, it's a fucking fat piece of shit on a Rascal scooter with a fucking oxygen tank on.
Big Mac hand, dude. Milkshake strapped in a tube on one of those fucking helmets.
Like a feeding bag.
Oh, I would love it. Fucking love it. We're headed there, by the
Why
way.
Why are we fucking...
We got Brent Pella here today, by the way.
What's going on, fam?
I feel like we've known you forever, and it was just like we glossed over who the guest was. Dude, you're one of our favorites, man.
Thanks, man.
I did not know you did stand-up, actually. I was just a huge fan of your videos on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, thank
you,
bro.
Is that weird?
No, it's great. I love it. Anytime somebody thinks I just do stand-up and then they find out about the videos is cool and vice versa is cool, as long as I become the one thing that they think about all day, I'm good.
Yeah. Do you think that's possible? But do you think that's possible?
We're gonna try.
Why are you slanging an Ocho? Do you have a hog on you?
A hog?
Yeah.
Do I carry a hog?
Yes.
As in a gigantic penis?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
So, okay.
I do.
That's a huge topic.
I like how he clarified and then answered in the affirmative.
Yeah. Because, right? By the way, that is sweeping the internet right now. TikTok, Twitter, everybody's doing those reaction videos to Sex Life on Netflix.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, boy.
Really?
I'm going to go ahead and drop this. I dropped it on Ross Patchen Revolution the other day.
Yeah.
For the Drinking Bros listeners, I'm going to drop this.
Yeah.
Episode 3, Sex Life. Time code
16,
19 minutes and 50 seconds. 19. Shower scene. You're going to see a dick that is so shocking. I rewound it, man, maybe 20 times. Nothing makes me laugh harder than male nudity, frontal male nudity.
Uh-huh.
I love it that in gay sex scenes in movies and TV shows and shit like that. I love it so much that I'll just keep, like, my wife is like, Jesus
Christ.
You'll
just keep watching the gay sex scenes.
You're obsessed with it. Yeah. And,
sure,
but it's
that's
just
not weird.
Belly laughter.
Yeah.
Like deep guttural belly laughter. Nothing makes me laugh harder than
that.
It's
like seeing a non-passing trans person in public and you like, I want that person to be happy, right? But I'm still, I can't not stare at that. Like I need to fucking figure, my brain is trying to figure out what's happening.
Sure.
I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful. I'm just like, that's not something you see every day.
Is the time code a big giant dick?
Yes.
So
19 minutes and 50 seconds, episode 3. That way I'll save you the rest of the series.
You're running your own private Mr. Skin over there, and it's just all dong shots.
Dude,
my wife said, you know what she called it? She goes, oh my God. I mean, she clutched her pearls. You know, she's like, so did I. I was like, oh my God. She goes, that's a fucking baguette.
Dude, when you big start, dicks are crazy. Like, I'm friends with a couple of porn stars, and so I follow, like, two of these girls on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, you know, Twitter... They'll only censor you if you start talking about conservative points, but they won't censor a 3-foot-long dick going into an asshole.
Oh, no.
They'll tweet stuff like that, and then it'll come up on my feed, and I'll just, like, hesitate. But it's like enthralling, dude. Like, I can't look away from a 5-foot monster cock.
Yeah.
It's
like seeing incredible. A whale.
We had a Tiana Trump on the show, the porn star, and I went to her Twitter because they were like, yo, have you seen her fucking Twitter? I was like, what is it? This is where I learned about that shit.
Yeah.
It was just graphic scenes. And the way she works a cock, like, because it was a hammer, like, homeboys in there, right?
Sure, sure.
Where it was a two-hander where it was just like, oh my, she was like washing a fucking car.
Dude, it becomes a workout at that point. I'm like impressed.
Yeah.
So, of course, I have to keep watching.
Wow. Her tries are very nice.
They, conservative talking points get banned. But also, do you remember the flying butthole challenge?
What was that?
Oh, yeah.
It's where people would put their phone on, like, their pillow with the front-facing camera on. Mm-hmm. And they would run into the room naked and then jump butthole first.
No way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. Was a
trend.
Yeah.
For like, I think it was like 2 years ago, it was a trend for like 2 or 3 weeks.
And on finally, Twitter?
Twitter, yeah, and then Twitter banned it for some reason. Like, that's the one that got you, not some girl taking fucking
that's
hot
fun,
loads.
That's fun, dude. It's just a flying butthole.
I know.
Yeah. We need more of that.
That's what I said.
We need more of that content.
Who came up with it? Because I want him to get the credit.
I don't know,
he
for sure. I don't know, but that's by it. That's like nonpartisan fun right
that's
there.
That's nonpartisan fun.
One would think. Yeah.
Flying buttholes, for
well,
sure.
Well, because look, we're all going to go genderless in the future, but buttholes will still exist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll see.
You think they're going to sew those up?
We may evolve out. We may evolve, outside the need for an asshole at some point.
It's true. Yeah. More people are shitting out of their mouth these days.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's like that South Park episode.
But then what do we fuck?
What do we fuck? That's a great question.
Well, I mean, my thing has always been, you inspect, find a hole you like, and if you don't find one, you make your own.
Yeah, that's true. Not a bad option. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference, really, at the end of the day?
Custom hole it.
Nothing. By the way, we have a hard seltzer coming out. Where are we telling people to email the bars and restaurants? So if you're a bar and restaurant, want to carry it?
Man, I don't remember. Hold on, I got to find out what the guy.
Are you guys making your own seltzer?
Yeah. So we've been working on this for a year. It comes out in 2 months, and so we keep trying other seltzers that are coming out.
Yeah,
this is fucking garbage. This Truly Extra. I honestly feel like I've got the fucking Delta variant drinking this thing. Like I'm shaking a little
bit.
Yeah, dude. You want to pop one?
Yeah. Let me taste one. What's your seltzer gonna be?
So it's 8%. The name has to clear the FDA here in like 6 days.
So you don't want
to
say the name, probably?
No, we can't. Okay, because in case they nuke it, then we're gonna have to rename it. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. Because I'm actually working on a wine.
Oh, Adam Carolla was on the show.
You know what?
And
you know
he
what's
sent
funny?
His wines.
Dude, I love Carolla to death. I love the guy. For my wine, I was going to call it Brosé.
Oh, shit.
But he's already got it.
No way. Does he really?
He's already got it. Yeah, it's on his rosé. It says Brosé on it. And it's like semi-trade. I don't know what it is, but I don't want to cross
it
fucking
is. So you do have to get a trademark for it.
Yeah.
Going through this process. You do have to get a trademark, and then you have to go to the TTB, and they got to clear it to make sure it can be on cans or bottles and all that shit. Yeah, it's terrible, right? Truly?
Oh, man.
God damn it.
What's going on here?
It's inquiries at tetherballacademy.com.
There you go. Inquiries at tetherballacademy.com. If you want this seltzer in your bar, hit us up. 8%. They're testing it now, by the way, for the calories and sugars and all that stuff.
Nice.
Because you do it on your own, and then you have to send it in, and they'll run it through all their fucking machines and shit and tell you if you're correct on the back of the ingredients and everything.
Oh, okay, cool.
But my God, this is awful. I'm going to keep drinking it because it's here, but I literally feel like the Delta variant is inside of me. Maybe
there's
Epsilon.
There's two things in Mangria right there since you're talking about fucking
Corolla. If we had ice, I would, dude.
I can't do that. That's like Four Loko without the meth, dude.
Yes.
Four Loko needs the meth in it. That's what gives it the flavor, but this is not that.
Ours is actually really good.
Yeah, but we did it for like a year. Like, so we dialed in the flavors.
And everything.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Because, our other co-host is one of the owners of Black Rifle Coffee.
Yeah.
And same thing. If you don't go through all these flavor profiles and all that other shit, I mean, you could sell shit to dog shit to anybody, but that's what I like about Corolla shit is I had no problem promoting it when I was like, God damn, man, that Mangria shit's amazing.
Yeah.
So, hey, Georgia, if there's fucking ice back there, I'll throw some in these Drinking Bros cups.
Cool.
We got the new merch. Look at you, Giorgio.
Oh, my man.
You just got a raise. Giorgio just got a raise.
No raise.
Thank you, bro.
I like how you just looked right down the barrel, too. Raise for Giorgio. We're proud of you. I'm going to switch over to the Mangria. Now, this is 20.9%.
Now, this is straight. This is actual, like, sangria, or is it wine?
It's fortified wine.
Yeah.
It's fortified wine.
But it's the maximum is 21%.
Right.
He went 20.9.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's fucking intense.
Not sweetberry wine?
What's that?
This is not sweetberry wine?
No, this is great.
Not what?
Sweetberry.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Are you talking about Boone's Farm? You trying to say Boone's Farm?
It's fortified wine, asshole.
Some
by the way, smell it too before
it's really
you,
good, actually.
Before you do it.
It's actually, it is really good.
You know what you're getting into.
Oh, wow. Corolla, come on.
I like how this has turned into an advertisement for Adam Carolla.
Who gives a shit?
I don't. Adam Carolla wine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? Who gives a shit? It's great.
It's actually really good.
Anything that's great, I'll promote. I don't give a fuck.
It's a good idea, too.
And he's a homie. We're not sponsored by him or anything. He's just a fucking cool guy. But
did you want some?
When he was on the show, he was great, and he sent over a case of it. So we've been drinking it, and it's got to be on a Saturday, though, because this is fucking intense.
Oh, that's a Saturday drink.
Yeah, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You got to go on stage tonight, too.
I think it needs an orange slice, to be honest. Or vodka.
Maybe a little zest.
Maybe.
Some vodka.
Maybe. He did say put ice in it, so I'm a fan.
That is delicious.
I'm a fan.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Where are you at right now in real life? In the world.
Somewhere between fucked and trying to get unfucked.
Now, like, where do you live, asshole?
L.A. So what I was just describing. I'm in L.A. I grew up by Sacramento, so NorCal my whole life.
Where around Sacramento?
Davis. And Sacramento.
UC Davis, by the way. Remember that guy that fucking bear maced all those fucking protesters back
then?
That was in
Davis.
That was UC Davis.
Yeah, that was UC Davis.
I was there at the time. I wasn't at UC Davis. I lived in Oakland back then. It was fucking funny.
That was
shit.
Wild.
That's so funny.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean,
You're putting vodka in there.
Completely unnecessary what the guy did, but it was super fucking funny.
So, dude, his posture when he did it was just like, his hand could have been in his pocket. Mm. Yeah.
Didn't South Park do that too? And it was just like, he was just like one of those people in the Olympics that are waving the fucking things around, but he's spraying the bear mace.
I feel like South Park or The Simpsons has done everything, and we're all just kind of hacks after that.
Have they done like a
real Joe, life is hack?
Have they done a Joe Rogan thing? Certainly, right?
Dude, you know what? People haven't done Rogan.
They can't.
I love Joe. Yeah. I'm a huge fan.
Same.
And I get these weird messages all the time that are like, bro, keep fucking with Rogan. That guy's an idiot. And I'm always like, no, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of mutual friends. But no comedy show has done Rogan. South Park hasn't done Rogan. I think
Rick and Morty.
Did they do Rogan?
There's a Rogan Elon Musk.
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay,
yes,
good.
Yes,
yes, yes. Good, good, good. Okay, cool.
Well, if anybody was going to do it,
but
it'd be Rick
and Morty.
He's
such a part of culture. You know what I mean?
Do you impressions? Like,
yeah. So one of the big ones I do is Rogan.
So, are you the fucking guy who does the Rogan? I am
the guy who does
there's
the Rogan.
One guy who does a Rogan.
That's me.
Was it with Marcus?
Vincent Marcus?
Yes.
Yeah, he was Ben Shapiro.
That's one of our beef fries.
He does.
He sent us the fucking video. He's been on this show 10 or 12
times.
He was on
episode 3, right?
Nice.
He's one of my good friends.
I love him.
He was on early on. So we're on, I don't know, episode 900 or whatever the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. On episode 3, we were doing this cross country, so we never got to see each other. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, we didn't have all this technology and shit, right? So we did a full episode where Jared goes, "Hey, dude, I've got a friend from the military from Australia who's in town. He's going to be the guest on the show." And I was like, "Great." I can't see him, so I didn't know. And it's Vincent for an entire fucking hour. And I'm asking him questions about his life, about the Australian fucking royal family and things like that.
Uh-huh. There's not an Australian royal family.
Because here's the thing. He doesn't know that I don't know that it's him.
Yeah.
So, because we're, you know, like I said, we're friends in real life, and I didn't know it was him.
Wow.
So he's giving me these like really terse, like short answers. And I'm like, fucking A, dude. I have to keep firing questions, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm just thinking of everything I can, like Australia and everything else or whatever, and he's giving these answers. And at the end of it, we do this thing called the Drinking Bro of the Week, and I hear him whisper, like, off to the side. He's like, "I don't think he knows." And I was like, it got in my head for a little bit, and I was like, "I don't know what the fuck that meant," or whatever.
Yeah.
Finish the show and everything else, hang up the phone, and then we pop back on, and he goes, "Hey, dude, like, that was fun, man. I'm glad you played into the bit." And I was like, "What bit?"
Oh my God.
And he goes, "Dude, it's me." It's been, and I'm like,
"That's wild."
"What?"
"That's wild."
I go, talked to another fucking, I just interviewed
for the whole episode.
Yes.
And he was improvising everything?
Everything.
That's awesome.
And like,
dude,
I asked him, but he is so funny. I go, "Dude, is this,
yeah,
what were you going to do?" And he goes, "Dude, I thought the bit was going to end after like 5 minutes, and it was me." And I go, "Jared didn't tell me, dude." So I was like, I treat it like a real thing. And Jared's on the other side with him. So Jared's just like, "Keep going, dude." It went on for like an hour and 20 minutes. And
crazy.
It was called Nuke the Ruse. And he talks about wanting to kill all the kangaroos over there. Because they were eating up all the crops and shit.
Luckily God did that for us at the beginning of last year.
right. Yeah, God
people
nuked it.
People forget
God
about all that.
The country.
Right? Yeah. Oh, dude.
All of Australia
was
down
on fire. Now like the ocean is on fire. So,
well, yeah.
God's just mad.
But I don't think any of these stories exist anymore. Like, once COVID hit.
Oh, dude, nothing matters.
Nothing.
Nothing matters. I don't,
like, that Australia fire thing might as well have been 15 years ago.
And that was in 2020.
Yes.
Yeah, it was January.
And it was, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to Australia.
Like, yeah.
Like, a billion animals died, I think.
Yeah.
And the entire planet just said, I don't fucking
care. We don't
care
about your fires.
Because they
don't care.
No.
No.
And now you're
crotch burn, fuck off.
You're in LA and they're remasking up.
Dude, I don't know what to do. Don't know what to do.
Vegas
about
is
that.
Vegas' Department of Health announced yesterday that they are recommending people wear masks in public again.
No. What are we going to do next weekend?
But the city is like, no, we're not doing that.
No, fuck that. Yeah, Vegas can't do that. Vegas won't last if they do that.
No.
But LA, I just don't know what to do. It doesn't, like, all the counties around LA, too, have very similar numbers. And they're all like, no, we're not going to do that.
There's zero deaths.
There's no, and also, as of recently, and you can fact check me on this, fucking young Jamie, the leading cause of death recently in LA County was heart disease again.
Yeah.
It flipped back. I don't know where, maybe it's COVID now, but like up and down like that and flipping back and forth. And then it was heart disease. And now we got to wear, it's just like, dude, and anytime you complain about a mask, you get like looked at like an idiot. But it's like, no, we're not the idiots anymore.
Maybe you should.
This is done.
Maybe
dude.
The people who are eating themselves to death should wear a mask with a different type.
Yeah.
The kind that keeps you from stuffing fat food or stupid food in your fat face all day long.
Bro, my favorite thing was when Krispy Kreme offered free donuts to people who got the vaccine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Shake Shack did fries.
And Shake Shack and all that shit.
But the burger wasn't included.
No.
We got to watch de Blasio awkwardly eat french
fries.
That
was so weird.
The only thing.
Why was that, like, sexual?
The only thing that was weirder than that in recent political history, in my opinion, was when Herman Cain did that ad where he fucking slowly turned in the camera, like, nodding like this. And then Mike Tyson made that video making fun of him. Mm-hmm. Remember that shit? It's so fucking funny. I understand the people that have sycophants around them all the time. They're either rich or famous or politicians or whatever. They don't have a really good sense of reality and what's going on around them. But that's why you hire a team to, like, remind you, like, hey, dude, that's fucked up. You
can't
do that? Are you fucking serious? Unfortunately, he hired people that were, like, frontline workers at his pizza place to run his campaign, apparently.
Jesus. These people forget how to be people.
They do. Yeah. And, like, I'll say this. So when I found out that was going into place tonight, because we're recording this on Saturday, I texted, I had I think eight of them were on a group thread from
this
LA.
This is going to be another mass exodus for right?
Eight friends from LA. I will say this, though. It was 50-50. Like, 50% of them were like, fuck this, fuck everything else or whatever. And then the other part were like, well, you know, we've got to protect ourselves and whatever.
Well,
and
they've been conditioned.
Yes. And one person wrote, no lie, he wrote, if our great grandfathers fought in wars for 18 years and we can't wear a piece of cloth over our mouth, fuck off.
What war lasted 18 years?
That's what I said. And then, 5 minutes went by, and then he texts back and he goes, please don't tell Dan.
Who said that?
A buddy of mine.
I'll find out who it is.
I think he realized, like, immediately, he was like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have typed that. But, because, you know, I hadn't answered the group thread in a while, and I was just like, all right, cool. But I'm with you. I think half the people are conditioned, and they'll just follow along and just go.
They'll follow, and, you know, there's so many people on this fucking spectrum, right? There's people who legit have some concerns. Maybe they have some pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. They need the vaccine. Get it for sure. You're around old people, sick people, whatever. You think anytime you're out, you should wear a mask. Great, I don't care. But then there's, like, so many people with 3- and 4-year-old kids that are wearing a mask on the beach, and I still see this.
Yeah,
that's
that's disturbing.
That's sophisticated crazy. Form of child abuse.
Yeah. It's so weird.
But it's not any different than teaching kids that some invisible sky tyrant is going to murder them in their sleep if they don't obey and respect their fucking parents' stupid commands. You know
right,
I mean?
Right.
It's just a very sophisticated form of child abuse.
It is true.
It's highbrow. It's highbrow abuse.
Yeah. But if my children are watching, that is true.
And wear a mask.
There's
no mask at the household, but just listen to your parents.
Nope.
With you personally, right?
Yeah.
How do you navigate this world in the LA comedy scene?
He hangs out with, like, JP and fucking Ryan Long and guys like that who clearly don't give a fuck about it.
Yeah.
But you still have to do shows in LA.
I do, dude. 2020 changed me, dude.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff is coming back, right?
Like, a lot of shit's coming back, but the Hollywood Improv is vaccinated only.
Oh, yeah.
you know, I haven't done as many shows lately in LA just because things are so hesitant and there still are a lot of capacity limits in places. And also, to be honest, I got kind of spoiled touring with JP last year because we were going from like July through now and still we were going to Florida, Virginia, Ohio, Oklahoma, right? And then I came back to LA and I would pop in for these 10-minute, 15-minute spots around town. And the audiences were just like so, there was this hesitancy and this weird tension where everyone in the crowd is wearing a mask and no one laughs if I do a Joe Biden joke. No one even laughs if I do a Trump joke. They're just like, we don't know like what to do. Are we allowed to laugh at these things? And then I'll go to Florida where they don't care about anything and they'll show up naked to a show and spit in your face as a compliment. Yeah. And they laugh at everything. Everything. Trump, Biden, it doesn't matter, right or left, it doesn't matter. And so I got like really frustrated with that recently. So I haven't even been reaching out to people as much in LA. And I want to start reaching out more and getting booked more and more in LA. But I just, I'm hoping for this fucking cultural tension to die down.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Because it's so, it's so tense.
There's no sense of irony on the left right now. Like they have, it doesn't occur to them how ironic things are. For example, all the shit that they've been talking about over the last 4 or 5 years with Trump and fascism. And now you have the White House press secretary saying that they should be allowed to inform social media on one, what to ban and censor.
Yeah.
And then once one social media application does that, all of them should ban that person.
Yep.
Right. I mean, that's fucking crazy.
Sounds kind
that
of
is
fascist.
It is. And the JP he's referring to, by the way, is JP Sears. He's a friend of ours. Yeah. He's been on the show. Great guy. But even he said the same thing. We're like, cause he's in the middle, right? He doesn't have a party affiliation, but he goes, man, I try to make jokes or sketches based on the times. And he goes, I just find myself more recently making fun of the left more. And he goes, simply because that's the low-hanging fruit of comedy right now.
It is, but it's also the fruit that is so avoided by comedians and people. Because I watched from 2016 when Trump got elected, that was hands down the best thing that could have happened for comedy.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
If you're just talking from a comedy point of view, Trump getting elected president was a gift from God. And then around 2018, 2019... the he's an orange racist jokes started just being bland and boring. And then in 2019, I started getting sick of that. And I realized, oh, the risk in comedy isn't making fun of politics. It's just being funny.
Yeah.
Like, just be funny.
Yeah.
And then when 2020 hit, the risk became, okay, no one is talking about the left. There's no one's bagging on Gavin Newsom. No one's making fun of these weird, crazy social justice policies that people are trying to get enacted. And so the risk became doing that, and I didn't want to make fun of Trump for being orange. It's boring as fuck. So I started...
Yeah.
Mario Lopez, who I love, by the way.
from Access Hollywood, or...?
Yeah. Well,
or Saved by the
Saved
Bell.
By the Bell.
Okay.
I love both guys.
I just want to know which one.
I love both guys.
It's actually the same guy. You know that, right?
Well, it's arguable.
Well, go back and look at them. That guy hasn't aged one fucking day since Saved by the Bell.
Oh, right. You mean like he... traveled forward in time or backward, depending on.
I'm saying this. Happened. I think he shot the entire series of Saved by the Bell, maybe 2 months ago.
It's possible,
And then they shot that back in
but
time.
But he said
he looks identical. He's a beautiful man.
I believe on Instagram. So he was Kirill posted him. Mm-hmm. You know, Assholes Live Forever, right?
Yeah.
So he's a buddy of ours. Kirill posted him and talking about how he wears his stuff all the time, and I commented, he's a beautiful man. And Mario Lopez actually liked that. So we're in a relationship now.
Nice.
There it is.
But anyways, he said, what, like a year and a half ago, I think it was on Instagram, that maybe we shouldn't be letting three-year-olds decide their gender.
Yeah.
And making life-altering decisions at 3 years old. And people lit his ass up for it.
Yeah.
Like, how can you get lit up for that?
Oh, dude, it's happening.
They made a movie about it. It's called Big Daddy. He let him fucking name himself and wear those clothes, and he turned into the gross kid.
What did he name himself?
Frankenstein.
That's
Frankenstein,
right.
Yeah.
And he smelled like shit all the time.
Yeah.
But it's going around everywhere in the world. I just got sent maybe an hour ago an article from Wilmington, where you and I were running for the school board there, for New Hanover County School Board. They had a fucking uproar at the school board. One guy got arrested. This was a day ago. What they're trying, there's two things that they're fighting for, that they're trying to teach: critical race theory. So parents are showing up both sides being fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then trans, respect trans kids if they're, you know, if they want to identify as that. And it's just like, that's a small community. It's 150,000 people in that town. If that's happening there, imagine in a large city like Los Angeles and all that other shit, man.
Oh, I remember
it's going to get worse.
There, I ran into this stuff in Oakland back in the day. One of my ex's friends came to work one day and was like, oh, my fucking daughter, 7 years old in elementary school, came home and told me a story about how one of her friends came out as trans and she became a good ally for her. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're seven. You should be coloring.
Seven? That happened at age seven?
Seven, yeah.
You should be coloring in a goddamn coloring book.
Yeah, you know,
you shouldn't be thinking about each other's genitals at 7 years old.
Yeah.
That's wild. A buddy of mine posted on Facebook a couple of months ago, we shouldn't have any gender reveal parties because really you're not going to know the gender of your baby until they tell you. And that was so wild to me.
It's a great joke. Who is that?
It is a great joke, but it was no, this was serious.
Oh fuck.
No, this was
it's a not
serious,
a comedian?
No, dude. It was a serious post. And you know, there used to be a conversation a couple years ago where the conversation was biological sex versus gender, right? And that was a conversation I really enjoyed because it taught me a lot. Because there are two biological sexes, right. And then the part B to that is if you think of gender as more of a socialized stereotypes of what men and women like, then yeah, a guy can wear a pink hat. I wear pink hats. I'm wearing pink shorts right now. And if you think of it that way, but that's not even the conversation anymore.
But that's not even a new thing. We've been using the phrase tomboy for fucking a gajillion years.
Right. Yeah. And now that's everybody's been conflating both of them and trying to just plant their flag in a hill. And it's like, dude,
Douglas Murray, The Madness of Crowds, the book that he wrote, or one of the books that he wrote, goes on about this at length about how people are making empirical claims about the universe that are and as if it's settled science, and it's not.
It's not. Like
you're looking at 250,000 years or so of our DNA being in its current form, and there being binary gender the entire time.
Yeah.
Binary sex the entire time. Mm-hmm. It's never been different. When you look in nature, something is either asexual or male or female.
Yep.
Always. There's no fucking...
Except for that weird fish that can change into one or the other and then get fucked and have another baby fish. But we're not fish.
Tom Hardy.
We could be.
We could be fish.
Not Tom Hardy. Attitude.
What Tom Hardy?
Well, he's bisexual.
He took a... Is he really? It's not the same? Okay.
Tom Hardy bangs dudes?
Well, I mean, his first interview, he said, look, I've taken dudes inside my mouth, so yeah.
No way.
Yeah, dude. And then his publicist shut that shit down.
That's amazing.
I'll look for it.
I wonder if he's fucked Tom Cruise.
Boy,
that would be a fun thing to watch. I would watch that Twitter clip,
man.
Tom Cruise and Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard it.
I'd watch that.
I've heard the Cruise stories behind the scenes and like what he's into. If it's true, I'm afraid of saying it on air because if it's not true,
really
be like what the fuck? But it's brief.
It can't be
that. What he likes to do is brief.
It can't be any different than or any worse than Prince Andrew, right?
I love that shit, though.
The most famous person that's done the most weird sexual thing I've ever heard of is Prince Andrew. So
when he went out to Epstein's Island?
No. This is the puppet.
He had a puppet made of himself that he used to fondle underage girls.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Everybody's got a kink.
Is this public knowledge?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's out. And so the puppet looks like him. And it was like, man, that's a weird flex because you're beyond the third person at that point. What is it?
Like, right.
That's like double first person. It's like if you had a sex doll made of yourself and made the girl fuck that while you watch. You're like cucking yourself, basically.
Oh, God. Self-cut.
Hold on.
Yeah. Power flex.
Hold on.
Power flex.
What did we just stumble upon here?
What do you mean?
Sex doll of yourself while you watch a girl fuck it.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan did this as Tracy Jordan, obviously, in 30 Rock. He had a sex doll made of himself, but he was using it to trick people.
Yes. Right. Mm.
Like he thought his kids were trying to kill him, so he left the sex doll in the bed and to see if they would kill him.
But this is purely sexual wanting to cuck yourself.
Yeah. This is a great invention, I think.
Giorgio, there goes your salary this week.
Yeah, dude.
Right to fucking Japan. You're gonna get a fucking doll of yourself.
That's like a month's salary.
It is, man. Those fuckers are expensive.
Well, what did they say?
We spent $3,000 on one.
3 months
on a sex doll?
Yeah.
Was it worth it? You still have it?
We blew it up. I think Black Rifle Coffee blew it up in a sketch, right?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Or shot it with a machine gun a bunch of times.
Did you have sex with it first?
A guy did. Somebody we know.
Well, maybe. We've never confirmed that, but look.
The pussy was missing.
That's like you walk.
A pocket.
That's like you walk.
A cavern.
Yeah, they give you two.
Yeah.
And then you can wash it.
And you can plug them in, too.
Yes. And it's a USB port to plug in the pussy to get it warmed up.
Yeah.
And so they give you an extra one to put in the dishwashers, obviously, after you've dumped out. And that was missing. That's all I'll say.
Oh, my God.
I think I know who it is.
Must have been some good pussy, dude.
Well,
must have been some good pussy.
There was elements of it that looked super real and like, all right,
how do you
cool.
get it lubricated? I'm sorry, this is so gross. How do you get it lubricated? Lube?
Oh, this is drinker bros, dude. This is drinker bros. You okay, can say great, any great, of that great, shit. Great, great. Yes, so you can do all of that, but then you put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
That's so like hilarious. That, I mean, it so pulls out like a drawer.
And you wash it next to your coffee cup.
Yes. You want to use a water-based lubricant probably since you're washing it like that.
Obviously. Correct. Obviously. Sure.
But yeah, the guy, there's no confirmation that he fucked it, but I'll say this. If you walked into a room and Orson Welles is sitting there and there's a bunch of empty plates of food, the assumption is that fat fuck had eaten all of it. And in this case, the assumption is that the biggest dirtbag in the history of my life, at least, probably fucked that sex doll, right?
Yeah.
If he had the opportunity to do
sure.
it. Yeah. I mean, he drove around with it in the fucking passenger seat of his car to beat the HOV shit for yes. like
so
6 months.
He was driving amazing. In the Hova lane, dude. The Hova with the doll.
For
yeah.
months.
Yeah. Yeah.
For months, and none of us knew where the goddamn thing was until one day he fucking shows up with it. He pulls into work with it, fucking sitting in his car. We're like, oh, God, dude.
And he's like, that's
we
Jessica.
Saw him drive in, and it was like, oh, shit, is that that's the fucking sex doll we bought. And you go, oh, yeah, man, just, you know, trying to beat the Hove shit, you know?
That's
and I was like,
crazy.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Nuts. Any part of you think about just going scorched earth and then that becoming your thing? And it's just like, all right, great. You can't win or lose with any of these jokes anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just goes. That's what we do on here. Like, we're just assuming we're going to get canceled in like 4 or 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
So, like,
I think that... You mean just like going without a filter and
yes.
saying fuck it
yep.
to everything?
Yep.
I think I kind of have done that, but my style of doing that isn't the Tim Dillon style of doing that. Does that make sense? So like I say fuck everything in the sense that I'm going to do whatever I want as long as I think it's funny. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it makes fun of right or left, who this or that,
yeah.
gender or anything, any subtopic of fucking social culture. But it's never, I think I just naturally don't go like super X-rated fucking hard the way someone like Tim Dillon would.
Okay.
And I love him. Yeah, I love him for that shit. But yeah, a good example of that is when I started doing these Gavin Newsom videos back in the fall, because no one else was doing Gavin. And I got a ton of shit for it from everybody on the left that were like, oh, dude, you're QAnon now? Wow. Wow, dude. You're QAnon. You're Alex Jones territory now, dude. Just because I'm making fun of our fucking dumbass governor.
Yeah.
And so that to me was like, wow, this is, I'm not even going that far
right.
here. I'm right. just it's, saying we have a bad yeah. governor for very specific reasons.
Right. And like so if you've got a problem with the reasons that I'm saying, maybe we can talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that the left, especially in California, has been anti rich elitist forever until
until
now, right?
Until now, right.
I mean, yeah. What the fuck?
It's insane.
Brent, we got some sponsors who pay for this shit wagon to be on the air, and you're going to have to enjoy them as much as we are. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. 30% off everything in the entire store. Now, legally, am I allowed to tell you that they've probably left their 4th of July bundle packages still up on the website? I don't know. I'm not a fucking scientist. However, if you can get better savings by clicking a couple buttons and then just open it up, do whatever you want, dude. Okay? I'm not going to judge you. Matter of fact, I might have done the same thing. Right now, GhostBed's got some bundle packages that are 40% off sheets, pillows, mattresses, adjustable bases, you name it. They got it. Wrap yourself up with Lady Liberty. That's not their slogan, but it should be. Sleep so good it's scary is the one we came up with for them. And I still love it. Woo! As always, they got a zero down, zero interest there for 36 months. And that's if you have decent credit. Don't come at me with your fucking bullshit. You know, you got 2 foreclosures and a goddamn boot on your car. There's nothing I can do about that. But if you have decent credit, then congratulations. Looks like you're paying like $35 a month for a mattress set for 3 years. That's fucking awesome. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today and enjoy the new lockdown. I'm kidding. It's not here yet, but it probably will be. Next up, we got HelloFresh.com. My God, dude. My God. I'm going to go ahead and say their URL with R's in it because it's almost hard to believe out loud. HelloFresh.com/drinkingbros14. Use the promo code drinkingbros14 for up to 14 free meals plus shipping. That's food for you and your loved ones for 2 full weeks. I don't know why they're doing it. Maybe it's because they know they've got the best food on the planet, the freshest fucking recipes, and I'm going to be honest, their meat's really goddamn good there, man. I just had the pork chops the other night. They were delightful. I've been eating this for, I don't know, 1.5, 2 years now with Jesse. Me and my wife usually eat this about 4 to 5 times a week and then take the kids out on the weekend somewhere. These are easy, man. 20 to 30 minutes tops, recipe to table. You're good to go. All fresh ingredients. Gets dropped off right at your front door. And let's face it, where else are you going to get 14 meals for free? You can always change your delivery day, your food preferences, plan size, or you can skip a week if you're out of town or get flooded out of your household like we were. But I'm back, baby. And I got HelloFresh pumping through my veins. Go to HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros14 and use the code DrinkinBros14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/DrinkinBros14 and use the code DrinkinBros14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kits.
And now they're in support of all the social media companies censoring it, as long as it's not me. Somebody wrote a poem about this. First they came for the socialists, and I was in the socialist side, I didn't say anything, right?
Yeah, so it's going to get worse. What I like about you, though, is you do impressions that are off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Like, no one does Rogan. I did not know that was you.
Thanks, man.
No fucking idea. Well, you
cool.
had a...
That's cool.
You had the whole...
I do the bald cap and everything.
Everything else, and I was like, ah, shit. I've never seen a Rogan before.
Do you think it's funnier if the bald cap isn't on right? Because I think it is.
Like, yeah, so there's two ways I've done it. I did it with the pantyhose.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I've done it with, like, a proper makeup.
I think I saw the proper one.
Okay.
The proper one is good for, like, HD high produced stuff, but I like when it's like askew and not on correctly.
Yeah,
like when somebody's wearing a wig and it just looks fucked up like that, it's really, it makes it funnier to me.
Yeah, there's something funny about that because it's just such a casual,
it's almost like
it's a casual, like, not give a fuck type of thing.
And no one does it, Gavin Newsom.
No one's done Gavin. Seth Meyers' brother did Gavin, but it was one of those, like, holding him on a pedestal impressions. You know what I mean?
Oh,
It wasn't digging into him.
Oh, it's like, it's like humble bragging the whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
The audio audience is going to hate this if you don't give a Gavin Newsom impression.
Hello. Disgusting Texas monsters. As you might have heard, there's a new mask mandate in L.A. Unless you're at my house, in which case... you're not allowed to wear a mask on your pussy, because I'm diving in.
Doesn't he kind of
amazing?
Do you remember?
I'm gonna give that a give that a slow clap.
Thanks,
there.
Dude.
Do you remember the newest Shaft movie with Samuel L. Jackson and Christian Bale played the fucking spoiled rich kid?
Oh yeah.
That kind of if anybody does a biopic on this asshole, it's got to be Christian Bale playing him, right?
Well, the thing, if you do a biopic on Newsom. Trump Jr.'s got to be in there because he used to date. Newsom used to date,
yeah.
And there's a photo of them. I think it was in Vanity Fair where they're on like a bearskin rug together. Kimberly Guilfoyle
and Gavin?
And Gavin Newsom, yes. And dude, so they did a so full weird. Spread about this of like, oh, this is the nation's new power couple
Jesus.
Or whatever.
Dude, they're all just so weird.
Weird as
they're
fuck.
So fucking
And now
weird.
She's with Trump Jr.
Yeah.
And you have to, I mean, God, he's so far left and he's so far right.
Right. How crazy is that? What
Maybe
happened to her?
Well, we saw what happened to her at the convention.
Right.
Remember that?
What was it? We will. What did she say? What did
Just
she say?
Just screaming, dude.
We will overcome. What was her line?
Well, hopefully she didn't say that because we
you
shall overcome.
You shall not pass.
We shall overcome is from, like, well, it's, I guess, from Negro spirituals back in the day.
It is, yes.
So you probably don't want to fucking say that as a conservative white woman.
We shall overcome,
you stupid bitch.
That's not the one.
But because the wildest part about it was, if you remember, there was an empty audience because of COVID.
Yeah.
So she was screaming.
So she went full Howard Dean then?
Yes.
Pyaw!
Yeah. Oh, it was, I mean,
dude, it was like
brutal.
She was doing a summoning, dude. She looked like a witch at an altar.
But when there's no audience there,
yeah.
You would do that if you're inexperienced at speaking
right.
like that because right. you're like, yeah. oh, I should project. Those cameras are so far in the back.
Right,
and
it was right. like, no. What does she do? What is her? She's not in
she was
politics,
at Fox.
Technically.
She was at Fox for years and years. Okay. And years. So she was a big host on Fox. She might still be, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not a... I don't dip into Fox. I
don't really.
I checked out of.
Dude, what do you guys do for news, bro? Do you watch? You either have to watch everything
about this.
Or nothing.
I watch everything.
You watch everything yeah. right? Yeah. You kind of have to.
Yes, mm-hmm. We're on 5 days a week here. Dan's got a show, American Party. Mm-hmm. That's politics. That's on 2 days a week. Ross Patterson Revolution's on 2 days a week. We don't have a choice but to follow the news.
Yeah.
However, if you want to try to get the full truth, you have to. Go through all of them.
All of them.
Like, you can't just stay on Fox or CNN or...
Yeah,
oh, yes, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you got to fact check it and then kind of meld them all together and be like, all right, I think this might be the truth.
Right.
But I'm not sure. I could get buried for
this. Well, Paul said, study all things and hold fast to that which is true, right?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what I do. And I start off my day with 10, right? So I'll go CNN. I'll go Fox. I'll go Drudge Report. I'll go New York Times, Washington Post, and then I'll flip it over to entertainment. So I'll go Deadline because mm-hmm. that's super Hollywood. I'll go The Wrap, which is super Hollywood as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And then ESPN because, look, let's face it, ESPN is kind of political now.
Yeah.
And some of their motivations. And they've got so many crazy stories that it's become like a TMZ. And then I'll go to TMZ as well,
mm-hmm.
where TMZ breaks a lot of stories that traditional media doesn't. They were the first ones to break Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was, I mean, that story sat there for close to 2 hours.
Hours.
And finally, they had to say, hey, dude, we're calling the manager of Kobe. Yeah. We know that he's dead.
Yeah.
Either you can confirm this or not. And they were like, fuck, go ahead.
Yeah.
And it was just like, but we didn't believe it. Dan and I didn't believe it. Because we kept getting blown up all day about it.
Oh, me too.
And I go, dude, I'm not fucking talking about a TMZ article. Like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And then. It was real.
I coached at his camp for 6 years.
Mm.
So I,
fuck off.
I worked with him for a week every summer for
He's
6 years.
He's my favorite, dude.
Mm. He's my favorite person of all time. And when that happened, I was in San Francisco staying at a friend's house. And she showed me the article in the morning. And I it was like a joke. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was one of those like joke
Same.
Headlines.
Yeah. Yep.
And then a couple hours into the drive, I was driving from SF back to LA, and I just had to pull over. I was like crying for an hour on the side of the freeway.
Yeah.
It was the saddest. It was the worst thing.
Yeah, that was. I think that's the most mourning I've seen of a celebrity death.
Yeah.
In my lifetime, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, like, look, doing all this shit and making fun of people every goddamn second of our lives, there isn't a lot of celebrity deaths that get me, like ever. Like Biz Markie just died an hour ago.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all right, cool, man. It's
yeah.
You got what I need,
right.
you know,
but
and you're like,
can
all right.
kind of celebrate him
yeah.
in a way.
And it's fine, but it's not going to affect my day, whereas Kobe genuinely affected my fucking day.
It has affected almost every one of my days since that day.
It's weird, dude.
It's weird. You know what's weirdest about it? There's a couple things to me, and I've had like time to you know, process it with friends of mine from the camp and friends that were way better friends with him than I ever. I was just an acquaintance, but he has like friends that I've talked to about it, and it's A, just tragic because mm-hmm. it's so shocking and sudden. But B, he's the type of guy who, you know, I don't know if you have anybody in your life that you take inspiration from that's like created you in a way.
Yes.
Whether it's a family, a grandfather, yes. a father, a yeah. mom, your brother, whatever. And so he was that for me. I grew up with a single mom and I've also like been lucky enough to not experience the death of anybody really, really close to me in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So with Kobe, every time I saw him at the camp and even, you know, in high school and everything, we're taking all these lessons from him. Every other word he said, we're all hanging on by a thread, just trying to soak up as much as we could. And there was this whole like mentality and way of approaching work and relationships that he had that we all took from him at that camp. And I didn't even realize how much I had embodied it until he died. And I was like, it felt like, and so I can't even imagine what somebody, you know, like, obviously his wife and family, but then again, friends of his that were like really close to him.
Right.
Feels like, cause that's a piece of you. That's somebody that like created something inside you that I took forever and that I'll continue taking forever. So that's why it was just so hard.
Yeah. And everybody's got their own like form of inspiration. Right.
Yeah.
And it's rare. And like, Dan, you talk about Douglas Murray all the time and Carl Sagan, things like that. Like, mine to me was Kobe. There was one of the hardest projects I ever worked on was this book. And it was during that season with Dwight Howard where he ended up tearing his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
And he just carried that team to the playoffs. And every night he was dropping 40, and that was on in the background because I was living in LA. It was on in the background every night. I was like, fuck, dude, if this guy can do it, like, with a shitty team, like, I can do this project, right?
Right.
And then I just kept going, finished around the same time. And, like, dude, when he popped his Achilles and made those free throws, I was like, yo, dude, that I was in tears, and I was finishing this book, and I was like, fuck, this is amazing. And then it'll come in spurts where you think about it, not think about it. We had Lisa Leslie on last week.
Cool.
And that was the closest person I've met who had a gangster mentality like Kobe did, where when she spoke to us, it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
She's like, got the same fucking killer.
You hear a lot of bravado and confidence, projected confidence anyways, particularly out of athletes. But when you hear it from someone that it's one of the top five people to ever do what they've done, that's like, there's no more pretense. Like, you don't think they're faking it.
Right.
Because they actually, it's almost scary
to hear that in like a close.
Well, I've seen it a bunch of times though with fucking, cause I was in the 82nd Airborne. That's how we think.
Yeah.
And it's weird to see it outside of a place where your life is literally
right,
on the line. I think it's hard for people. We see it with Conor McGregor now. It's hard to motivate yourself once you reach a certain level of success. People like Jordan, Lisa Leslie, fucking Kobe were able to continue doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, most people get one chip or they get their first big contract, and it's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
When you see somebody get into the fight and then after they achieve their initial success, their trajectory goes further upward, that is a person to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forever. You should watch them forever.
Totally. And we had Tim Grover on the show a few weeks ago, his trainer.
Oh, cool.
And Tim.
He's the fucking actual psychiatrist version of Phil Jackson. To be honest.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if they ever worked together. I guess they probably did when Phil was with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. At least to some degree.
Well, what happened was Phil was
doing that shit back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. But what he was saying was, so Tim, because he was in The Last Dance,
he'd
gotten bought out by Jordan. And he just said, look, I'm going
to be his personal guy.
That's it. And he goes, you can't work with anybody else. And then Kobe.
Yeah.
So Kobe asked and said, hey, dude. And Jordan was like, all right,
But Kobe asked Jordan not
correct.
Yeah, he asked Jordan for permission. Yeah.
Correct.
Which is the right way to do that, by the way.
Totally.
Yes. And and they ended up working together. But then here's where the comedy element comes in for me is like, when is it too soon and when is it not too soon is what everybody struggles with. I got a meme about an hour after it was confirmed.
Yeah.
Like a fucking.
That was for me.
Oh, was that from you? Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I think, you know what? I think it was your brother. Your brother has dark memes, dude.
He's
Josh.
Some fucked up shit. Yeah.
And I love it. And it's like, dude, you look at it and you're sad, but also the comedian version of you is just like, God damn it, man. I can't be a comedian if I don't take all jokes seriously
and
or whatever.
Ari Shaffir had a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Ari's wasn't a funny, structured joke where you were
bad. It was just like a bad thing. Somebody who had a really good joke. It might have been Sam Morrill.
He's funny.
It was either him or Mark Normand.
Oh, Norman's great too.
And I'm pretty sure it was Sam. It was something along the lines of, I just can't believe it. I'll never believe that Kobe passed. Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so the wordplay. And like, I still can't laugh. I just, pretty personally, but that's why comedy is subjective, is because there are plenty of people out there that can find humor in that specific moment. To me, it just burns too much still. But that's fine. It's just not for me. I'm not.
But that's what everybody is going through right now.
Right.
Right.
I'll never get mad at somebody for making a joke about
that. Me neither.
If you're you've been to wakes before, I imagine.
Yeah.
I would recommend going to a police officer or military wake at some point if you've never been to one, because it's not what you think. It's not a bunch of, like, there will be tears, I'm sure, but for the most part, you're just roasting the dead person.
Oh, that's funny.
You know what I mean? In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, you say good stuff, but it's couched in this, like, that guy was a fucking asshole. And it's not that he was an asshole. It's like, we're all fucking assholes here, right?
Oh, yeah.
So let's just be assholes and fucking be honest about it.
And I remember when one of my best friends from high school died and we had to go to the funeral. It was one of those, like, you know, big chill type moments where you go back for the funeral or whatever. Yeah. And, like, at that point, I was doing comedy forever. And, like, dude, I'm cracking jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, right before the funeral started. And as like one of the relatives or somebody was just like, you can't do that. And I was like, well, you clearly didn't know him because he was disgusting and he would have loved every second of all of this.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I looked at that Kobe meme and I was just like, 15 seconds. I was like, God damn it.
Right.
Well, fuck. It was good.
That's the thing, dude. It's when it's comedy and it's meant as comedy, you don't have to laugh at it. You don't have to think it's funny.
Because it was nothing malicious.
But you can't
malicious.
Get mad that it exists, you know? Yeah. That's why it's, and especially in the past like 2 years, we've seen people mocking things and making fun of things. And people are like policing comedy now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not allowed to make fun of COVID. You're not allowed to make fun of people who wear three masks outdoors while they're walking their dog. I'm going to do that.
And the dog has a mask.
And the dog has a mask and identifies as a zur. I'm going to make fun of that. You know what I mean? That's something that's very appropriate to make fun of.
Everything is appropriate to make fun of.
Everything is. Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
What's the old...
As long as the goal is laughter.
Yeah, yeah.
If the goal is to like make somebody hurt, then it's bullying.
Yes.
But if your goal is laughter, then let the fucking person try to make laughter.
And I think that's what Ari went through, to be honest with you. Like, it just wasn't funny enough, whereas like that meme that you was fucking hilarious, and I was just like,
it's a shock value in some cases.
Yeah,
which has no actual...
Ari's didn't have any structure to it. It was
Ari's
just
was
this
like
weird
and mean and stupid, and I don't know him. I've never met him. I got no opinion on him.
Yeah, I've never met him.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like it was meant in a comedic sense.
Well, the old phrase, "Sacred cows make the best hamburgers," right?
That's hilarious.
There's a twofold meaning to that. One is like the more closely held a belief or something is, the funnier it is to make fun of that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, this whole speak truth to power bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Words can't have more power than you give them. That is the point of comedy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what made George Carlin so great at what he did, is that he broke down everything down to the level of language and how people thought. It wasn't just a fucking like, hey, why'd the chicken cross the road? Or some fucking, even some anecdote that's funny. He went down into the gutter of how human beings actually think.
Mm-hmm. I think he just got rich enough not to care, too, or that's a great one.
I don't know. Yeah. Go watch his shit in the 70s.
You don't care?
That first stand-up he did at USC, the first one that HBO did.
Maybe right. You're right.
I think it was in 1972. It was fucking brutal.
I think it was the article that I read right before I got here.
Because before that, he was going on late-night television telling clean jokes in a bow tie and shit.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, he came out in 72. He's fucking dressed like a hippie with long hair.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like, hey, you're all a bunch of fucking cunts, man.
Yeah. It might have been the acid. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. It
might have been. Because again, I might have been influenced by this article I read right before I got here. I heard there was a new John Mayer song. I don't know if you've heard it, right?
Mm.
And they were like, oh, John Mayer's got a new single out or whatever, right? It's not that I'm the biggest John Mayer fan or anything. Don't give a shit, right?
Sure.
And I heard this song and I was like, God damn it, man. That sounds like Yacht Rock, like from the early 80s. And I was like, I watched the video and he's got like long hair and all this shit. And I was like, is he trying to change his look? Is this like a new thing that he's going through or whatever?
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with everybody here and I was like, you see that John Mayer bullshit? Like, what the fuck is that? And they were like, dude, I don't really know, right? And so the title of his album came out and I think it's called like Sob Album, something like that. Or no, it's called Sob Rock. That's it.
Sob Rock.
Sob Rock, yes.
Jesus.
So he's making fun of Yacht Rock. I've never heard the phrase Yacht Rock before.
So here's the thing. Yacht Rock's been around for a while, right?
I'm sure it has. I just never heard that phrase before.
So he does an interview with Zane. Do you do a Zane Lowe from... okay.
No, but I should try.
That motherfucker.
From Beats, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
He does every musician interview on the planet.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's great.
He's British.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love him. He's great. But he sits down and he'll get down into it. He goes, is this a fucking joke?
Right.
Like, is this a fucking joke what you're doing? And he goes, yes, it is. And John Mayer came out and he goes, yeah, dude. He goes, you know what shitposting is? And I've never heard that term before.
Yeah.
George, have you ever heard of shitposting?
Yeah, that's 4chan, bro.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. That's
okay.
For sure. Steve internet.
Okay,
for
sure. Great. So he goes, you know what shitposting is? And he explains it to him. And he goes, I just thought I would make an album trolling everyone of like a Yacht Rock album because I can and I'm rich enough. And he goes, just to see what would happen.
That's so cool. I love that.
So do I. But I was blown away. I was like, dude, you would spend that much time to drop a full fucking album?
He probably dropped six figures to make that album.
And then not tell anybody that that's the joke, because that single came out maybe 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And everybody's kind of like, what the fuck is this?
Well, that's what
like,
John McAfee just tried to do, right?
Yeah.
That whole schwacked bullshit and then this fucking fake ass suicide note. He's trolling people. From beyond the grave, and that's
what I think.
I'm definitely going to do that
because
I do it.
Oh, for sure.
I troll people now almost every single day without And it's kind of stupid because I do this job, but I never record any of it. It's just for me.
Right? Yeah.
I just know that out there, there's somebody who got asked a really weird question in an elevator and they're trying to figure it out 8 hours later. Like, why did that guy say that to me?
Yeah.
That makes
that's
me happy.
Hilarious.
Right?
That's just life funny is, to think of.
Life is not that serious. And I need, my brain just never stops. So I need little nuggets like that.
Do you remember when Joaquin Phoenix became a rapper?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's like that.
Well,
that was kind of like an obvious bit. Or was it real?
So here's,
I don't know. That had a lot of people. A lot of people were confused on that.
That, but that's the thing. Listen to what's happening right now. That's exactly what he wanted, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what he wanted.
It was either Andy Kaufman or it was like
I fucking love.
Because he's
Andy
with Kanye
Kaufman.
And stuff. Like it was weird. Like people really thought Joaquin Phoenix.
What
was
do you
a rapper.
Think? You don't think Kanye would troll people?
No, but like at the time, people were like. They were like, this dude can rap. Like, he got a lot of people on board with it.
No.
He duped a lot of people.
He duped a lot of people.
I watched that movie. No.
He duped a lot of people.
So, I was dating somebody, and her best friend.
What was this, like 2012 or some
shit? Yes. Yeah. No, earlier than that, actually. Because when they filmed it versus when it came out was like a good 2-year gap, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I was dating somebody who was, her best friend was dating Joaquin Phoenix. So we go to this bar one night, and they were like, hey, we're going to meet up with so-and-so and her boyfriend or whatever. Doesn't say who the boyfriend is. So I show up at this tiny dive bar or whatever, and it's Joaquin Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And he looks like shit. It looked like he did in the movie, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. You didn't say it was Joaquin Phoenix. And she goes, oh, I just thought you knew. And I go, no, I didn't fucking know. Like, so-and-so and her boyfriend or whatever. He's doing fucking rails at the table.
What?
Out in the public. Like, just right on the fucking table.
Why really? Not?
Yes. And I was like, I go, you can't do that.
Holy
and
shit.
No lie, she goes... Well, if you're Joaquin Phoenix, you can. And I go, yeah, you're right. I guess you can, right?
Wow.
So it was during the middle of this, and I was like, what is this? Like, what's going on? Like, is he just off the deep end? And, like, what I got was he was out of it, just fucking, you know, trying to figure out life and all that other shit, and was just like, let's make a movie about this fucking thing and then say it's this other thing. Mm-hmm. But he had pissed so many people off in doing so that, like, all of his reps and everybody else were like, dude, you're going to get fucking canceled. Like, so you better go on a world tour afterwards and saying, hey, this was a bad joke and I didn't mean it. And that's exactly what happened. So I don't know if we'll ever get the real answer, but I just think he was going through some fucked up shit in real life and then was like, well, let's make a movie and see if we can do this because.
Well, you know, Casey Affleck made that movie, right?
Yes.
That's
another reason I think that is evidence in favor of it being a troll because Casey Affleck is a huge troll, right? So
yeah,
I feel like that might be some, but it does seem like he was losing his fucking mind at the time too.
Definitely,
yes,
but he's a great actor for sure. But those late night appearances he was doing, that seemed like a deeply troubled. Like, there's a difference between
100%
acting weird, like the way Andy Kaufman acted in public. People were like, this guy's a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, right.
But they weren't like, this dude's about to blow his fucking brains out.
Right,
those are two very different things.
Right,
and then there was somebody else that I had worked with on another film after that, and in joking, I had made like a Joaquin Phoenix reference, and he goes, shit, I worked on that fucking movie," and I was like, "Was it real?" And he goes, "Look, man, for the part that I was there, like he was buying prostitutes and things like that," and he goes, I thought the prostitutes were real. And he goes, I think it's real. He goes, I don't really know.
Wow.
And he goes, we were filming and kind of doing shit, but he was like, didn't really feel like we were filming. And I was like, fuck, dude.
Wow. Here's
that's
another.
Wild.
That
Franco was doing that shit too.
Yeah. Well, Franco
acting
was
classes.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But a lot of people like that fucking method shit. Like, when you have early success as an actor, especially, mm-hmm. I don't think people get into it later. Like, Samuel Jackson got famous when he was 42 or some shit. He's not going to all of a sudden go into method acting. He's just going to keep saying motherfucker, right?
Right.
But these guys that get famous, like Casey Affleck, when he was young, Joaquin Phoenix grew up in a fucking goddamn, you know, media family, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you want to be, like, the best at that shit, probably. I guess one guy that's stayed away from that is Tom Cruise, but he carved out a very specific niche for himself and made $1 billion. These other guys, I feel like they want to be the best at something. And how can you be better at acting unless you do it every day in your real life? You know what I mean?
I guess.
Dude, a mix of both of those will be Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who is my all-time favorite. He's a character guy. And I was a PA. My day job was a PA in L.A. when I was coming up. And I worked on a shoot. It was a commercial shoot. And the wardrobe assistant or the wardrobe director or whatever was Sacha Baron Cohen's right-hand guy who did all of his makeups and everything for Borat. And what was the German one?
Bruno.
Yeah.
Before that, it was Ollie G.
Ollie G. Yeah. And then he worked on Who Is America?
Oh, yeah.
And he was telling me, like, there were times where Sacha, like, if something bad happened, like, if he got arrested or something, he wouldn't break character. Yeah. So he would get arrested as Borat,
yeah,
be taken to jail, stay Borat the whole time. They wouldn't know who the fuck this guy is or how to contact somebody. And then he would call production like a day or two later as Borat. And then they would come and get him out. And I was just like, dude, that's either like just hilarious, like another level joke, or psychosis.
Hopefully it's funny one of those.
But it's so funny.
Did you watch that Man on the Moon doc?
If it's funny for him, then...
Right, exactly. That makes at that point, you're entertaining yourself.
Even if it's not funny, if it's funny for him, that makes it way funnier for me.
Yeah.
The fact
that
he went to all that trouble for no fucking reason. Yeah, right. Just to entertain himself? You kidding me?
Yeah.
I do that shit all the time. It's like you see a calm pond, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to throw a couple of rocks in there.
Right, right, right.
See what happens.
Right.
The Man on the Moon doc was the most uncomfortable thing I ever watched, because everybody's like, oh, that's just Jim. And I was like, no, that's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Like treating everybody like, you know, oh, I'm going to do this fucking thing, and then you got to go along with it. And I'm like, oh my God, dude.
That was wild.
It's the fucking worst. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you about SNL. Was that a childhood dream for you?
Yeah. That's you know, that's LeBron wanting to go to the NBA. I think for any comedian.
The reason I ask is half the cast is leaving. Something you want to do anymore as a comedian? Dan and I have had this conversation where I don't think it's worth it anymore.
Do people watch that show still?
The immediate answer is yes, of course. I mean, do I want to be on a national stage and try to get my voice and my message and my comedy across to people in the biggest possible frame of all time, like comedy frame? Yes, 100%. I would love to do that. I don't know how to even get, I don't have an agent. I don't have a manager.
Gotcha, yeah.
I don't know what the steps would be.
The reason I ask is I look at,
I'll be your agent, and I'll do it the way the fucking Italian mob used to do it back then. I just show up. It's me and Joe Pesci, and you're like, hey, he's got like a whole fucking pocket full of pencils right there. So unless you want one in your eye, you're going to fuck my guy for this.
I know.
But I will say,
they're
tell
all
you,
pussies these days, too, so it would probably work.
It might.
Well, I like, it's always been a dream, but this path that I've been on over the past couple years of doing everything solo, production solo, I can produce and direct and edit all my own shit on a really high level now. And I'm very excited. I love doing that. I love the people that I work with. And that, the next level of doing that for me in this environment of where entertainment is headed is having my own show.
Yeah. Like, right? why don't we make our own SNL where all of our friends get together for whatever, 10 weeks in the summer and do like have the crowd tell us what they want to, the sketches they want to see. We'll just do them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
you
easy.
Could. I go back to what Tim Dillon was saying, where he was just like, dude, I like this podcast.
But I
for
mean,
example,
like,
it's like 10.3 million listeners. We can't, SNL doesn't reach that far. So it's
it doesn't.
Like, it doesn't reach that far. So, like, I don't know. I would not stop doing this for SNL or anything else. Not that they would ever fucking.
Dan, I like your idea. We could just film that and do that whenever we want and broadcast that to whoever.
Yeah.
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 Seriously. I'm 100% on board with Dan.
Yeah, that would be
but,
fucking dope.
Because Dan and I hate SNL.
Because we know
now.
All the people that do all the impressions.
Yes. You know what I mean? And like, what
I'm
I would
in.
Like to do is get you, like, if it were me, because I'm pretty good at spotting talent, I'd put you. Do you know who Stevie Emerson is?
That's one of my good friends.
Oh.
Yeah, we're Slappers, making a movie together.
Slappers on my edge.
Yeah.
I'd put you, him, Vincent Marcus.
Yeah.
I'd put JP doing the news. I fucking hate Colin Jost and Michael Che. I hate them both equally. So I'm not racist. I just hate them both. And
you got to have Ryan in there.
I would love to
Ryan
put
Long, yeah, for sure.
JP's delivery doing the news. Because he does those segments on his Instagram, right? JP Sears. Yeah. JP doing the news.
News?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it would be
it's
devastating.
Really good.
That dude,
yeah, really good.
Peter Michael.
That dude is crazy.
He's one of the best impressions
crazy.
I've ever
also,
seen in my life.
Also, Manon Matthews and Nikki Howard are also two of my absolute favorites to work with. Nikki Howard does the best AOC impression of all time.
Exactly.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Have you seen it? The one that we do?
The best, dude.
Dude, we got
the
a new best. One coming out. I'll show you after. I don't think I have it on my phone. But we got a new one coming out next week. Her AOC impression is top three of anybody's impression
end
of anybody
all, be
ever.
All ever.
And I knew it. When I wrote that sketch at first and I pitched it to her, because she doesn't really do politic type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, this is a very political sketch, but it's pretty middle of the road. We're making fun of Don Jr. and AOC. Yep. You know, so you might have people coming after you, but I really, and she was like, fucking yeah, I'll do that. That sounds great. Mm. And as soon as we started shooting, I was like floored. Because she's got the look, the energy, the big ass eyes, you know what I mean?
So question for you.
Yeah.
Would SNL even do an AOC? Because they have not.
I'll tell you a story.
How is it possible they haven't done that?
Because, well, Yeah, you tell the story
I'll
first.
I'll tell you the story. Yeah. All right. So, and also just to follow up on the last question, I've had a special place in my heart for SNL always, and I love it.
Same. I just, I would like to see.
But like
a
also
fucking
I want,
fresh blood, dude.
I just want a career at this point. You know what I mean? I mean, fucking give me some money. I'm poor.
Have you seen that suggestion? It's a podcast where parents try to explain what their kids do for a living.
No.
That's crazy. Yeah. It doesn't exist. It was just a meme. But somebody was
oh,
like,
really?
Somebody was like, somebody should start a podcast and have parents come on and say what their kids in their 20s and 30s do for a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, it's all Instagram and fucking, yeah.
Anyways, story.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I was on Clubhouse a couple of months ago.
Okay.
And there was a Q&A with a very well-known comedy writer. I'll tell you off air who he was. And there was a Q&A with him. And I was lined up in the queue, and I asked him a question. My question was, in regards to the current state of comedy, specifically talking about politics, how do you feel that almost 100% of mainstream comedy shows take very specific aim toward the right and don't and leave this beautiful bounty of material on the table as far as making fun of the left?
Because yeah. there's nothing better to make fun of than people who don't understand why you're making fun of them. That makes it so much goddamn better. Yeah.
And you broaden your audience and everything else. And so I said, and I continued. I was like, you know, because and I asked this because for the past year, I've found myself more and more making fun of, you know, everybody from Kamala to AOC to Biden. And then also, of course, Don Jr. when he deserves it. Ted Cruz is a spineless piece of shit.
Gay mortician.
And all these other people.
Yeah, we hate Ted Cruz.
He's a garbage person. And so I find myself like really wanting to make fun of everybody. And so what do you think about the scope that all of these comedy shows are using when they're creating content?
Right.
And his answer was something along the lines of, well, when you make fun of, in my opinion, when you make fun of anybody at the top levels, a president, a dictator, whatever, even a governor, Gavin Newsom, those are all fair game because Gavin Newsom's a rich, pretty boy, whatever. Biden, top of the line,
white,
doesn't matter if he's
white,
a white, and white, doesn't matter if he's a guy or a girl, if it's a president. And then you start going lower and like Kamala as VP, well, yeah, I guess you could find something. And right there, I was like, this motherfucker is not going down a good road because he was like, yeah, I guess you could make fun of Kamala because she's at a high level. But then when you start getting down to mocking people such as AOC, you know, she's a woman of color, she's in Congress, or is it the Senate?
She's in Congress.
So yeah, she's in a position of power, but mocking her, to me, that's kind of bullying, and it's punching down because you don't really need to be mocking her. Even if there's something like funny to mock her about, it's kind of like, to me, that's bullying. There's so many more bigger fish to take aim at. And I was
Is there a bigger livid. Mouthpiece?
Yeah. I was livid. I was fucking livid.
Yeah.
Because we're in a society right now where they're saying treat everybody as equal.
Yep.
Everything is on a spectrum. And here this guy's listing out his opinion as very strategically protecting certain people. Mm. Right? And yeah, he's a far left dude. He wants AOC to be president one day, blah, blah, blah. And so they're that side of his argument is probably inspired into his answer. But it just made me so fucking mad because now you're taking people out of the range. Like, now I can't fire at these people. Yeah. Now I can't take aim because she's a woman and a woman of color. No, dude. If she does something stupid, I want to be able to make fun of her.
Yeah.
Just like I want to be able to make fun of anybody. Mm. And this was a high-level comedy writer, like a very well-known guy in the industry. And I was so... And you can tell how mad I am right now just fucking thinking about it because I started thinking, like, is this what mainstream Hollywood is like across the board?
Yes.
Is this what it is?
Yes.
And so, like, it got me. Like, I already kind of had that sense, and you know, I've been making fun of everybody for the past year, so I was already kind of on the fuck it all train. But this was just like, it gave me such a bad fucking taste in my mouth. And so, when I wrote this sketch, and I had an AOC bit that I was gonna put out, and I didn't. I trashed it after having that conversation. But I'm actually glad I did because it let me have the creative space in my mind to create this AOC Don Jr. bit where I can actually come at AOC for very specific AOC things, right?
Like staring at empty parking lots.
Staring at empty parking
removing
lots.
$30 billion
hiding behind a house plant. Just and Don
Jr.
is
just as easy as a target. So it's like,
they are the
great.
Same.
Yes.
They are the same. They represent the same
but he's
on either end of the spectrum.
I think he's a little bit more in on the joke. Like he probably isn't as comfortable making fun of himself, but he does say a lot of what he knows is goofy shit in public, right? On purpose. Like, he trolls people on the internet.
Yeah, I wouldn't
troll people on the internet, I don't think.
They both do a lot of meme politics.
Yeah.
But I would expect Don Jr. to laugh at the videos that me and Nikki do more than AOC.
Probably. Well,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's obviously.
Yeah. But he's,
and,
yeah.
All. And so where was that story going to lead to? What was the original question?
With Hollywood in regards to, like, this writer, like, in Saturday Night Live and things like that.
Yeah. So I would hope, you know, and there's always been SNL, you know, has leaned left in a lot of their political stuff. Sometimes they lean right, but it's a majority left, and, you know, to each their own, it's all good, whatever. But if I had my show, if I had the Brent Pella show, if Netflix gave me a bag of money and said, hey, go make this show, there's no holds barred, dude. I'm going to go be completely free.
That's the way it should
creative.
Be.
Yeah, power.
I wish it was that way.
Yeah. Power ultimately exposes true character, right? Whether the power is becoming rich or famous or having a voice in public or whatever it is, all it does is expose who you are as a person. It doesn't change. I don't believe that shit where, oh, you got changed once you get rich. No, that guy was always a cunt.
Yeah.
And now you get his tell. So all these people who are coming to power are in control of media or whatever the fucking case is that are intent on censorship or pushing one narrative over another like that, and then I see they're all cunts, frankly. And then I see a groundswell in the middle, and it's not even the middle politically. It's just people who want to be able to do what you're talking about, which is say whatever you can say as long as it's funny.
Yeah.
Like you see, I've mentioned this a couple of times in the show over the past month, but Russell Brand is talking on his Instagram now about how people are fucking reaching out to me, criticizing me and saying that I'm aligned with the right somehow. No, my positions have never changed. I'm just making fun of what's stupid right now.
Yeah, exactly. The worldview has changed, but not his own view. And it's just like, all right, great.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Create stuff and put your voice out there if the purpose is comedy, but not if the purpose is agenda driven.
Right.
The agenda should be laughter. The agenda shouldn't be vote for this guy, don't vote for that guy.
I mean, JP, before COVID, no one would have ever accused him of being even right-leaning.
No.
He's always
been down the middle.
No one would have been able to tell where he stood because he made fun of everything. And because over the last year or so, he's made fun of all these stupid fucking COVID policies for the most part.
Yeah.
Right? People now think that he's some... I mean, people even accused Rogan of being alt-right. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Rogan's been ridiculous. In Hollywood for fucking 30 years.
And he hates Hollywood, and he hates all the fucking people there. And he said that numerous times. So it's just like, what are we doing anymore?
Yeah.
SNL to me, though, like it changed when Trump got in, where like Bush is a perfect example, right? I don't think anybody liked Bush, right? Including all of us. But you had Will Ferrell in there playing George Bush,
and he did it in an amicable way.
Yes,
like he was making fun of his cadence and how goofy he was and shit. But that's who George Bush is.
Dude, do you remember when Phil Hartman did Clinton?
Yes,
yeah,
amazing.
And then when it switched to Alec Baldwin doing Trump, it just seemed mean.
Yeah,
for no reason. God damn it, man.
Yeah,
and the other thing too,
they made fun of Obama his entire time in office.
Yeah, right? And I don't know if it was this show or another show, but they all fucking blend together at this point. But when I was going through the SNL auditions, Obama was about to get in 2008. And once he got in, they'd put out a call and they were like, hey, if anybody can do an Obama, it'd be great. So I get a call from my agent manager and they were like, look, you got to put an Obama on your reel or whatever. And I was like, I'm white.
Yeah. What do you got to go in blackface?
Right. What the fuck?
Exactly. And he goes, they don't care.
No way.
Yes.
No
so
way.
I worked on it and turned it in or whatever. You know, it was that pause that got me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it was just like, all right, great. There's always one thing where you get it and you're like, all right, great. My fellow American. And you were like, all right, great. But I was like, there's no way. I called and I was like, there's no way they'll get a white guy. And then they got Fred Armisen. And I was just
because he's half white.
Is he? I think he's Latino.
Fred Armisen is like
he's a mix.
No, he's Armenian and white, I think.
Yeah. So I mean he's not even black. And then they let that fly.
You know what,
years.
Dude? Also the guy who almost got that was Jordan Peele.
Yes. Oh, dude. Yeah. So when I was because I was doing sketches for Funny or
really
Die
good.
In between movies and shit.
I'm glad he didn't get that, by the way, because he would have gotten his own show.
He was the best of all time. And I remember seeing his first sketch at Funny or Die, and I go, I forget who the executive was there. Cause again, we were all hired to do sketches in between movies there. Mm-hmm. And I go, Jesus Christ, how the fuck did this guy not get it? And he wasn't famous at the time. And I go, how the fuck did this not get it? And they were like, man, I don't know. But then right afterwards, I was like, shit. I go, imagine doing the best Obama on the planet.
Yeah.
He's president. At that time, he was a fucking rock star.
Yep.
You don't get SNL. And I was like, where does your life go after that? No lie, that's what I said to them. Sure, and they were like, I don't know, man, unless somebody gives him his own show. Boom, he gets his own show, and it's the biggest
thing The thing he did with Key, with the anger translator, was so fucking
good. Good, dude.
And because you could tell Obama was trying really hard to not appear like the tropist angry black man in public or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But you could also tell behind his eyes, he's like, he just wants to call this guy an asshole, right?
Yeah, totally.
And dude, that's what I always wanted to see out of a president, by the way, is some guy who wasn't afraid to call people assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess Trump tried to do that, but Trump seemed like a guy. Like, you remember that kid when you're like 10, 12 years old and everybody's like sitting around, you're telling dirty jokes, and then one kid who clearly has never sworn in his entire life starts trying to interject swear words into his fucking dialogue. Yeah. And it just doesn't make any sense. That's what it was, like, offbeat.
Yeah.
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 You know what I mean? It was very bizarre.
Yeah.
By the way, Fred Harmison, mom from Venezuela, born in Venezuela, his dad, born in Germany to his German mother and Korean father. So this dude can play whatever the fuck he wants, basically.
Not black, though. But I ran into Keegan-Michael Key on the sidelines of a Saints game. We were there covering it. I forget what game that was. You were in the bathroom, and I ran into him, and I was like, oh, shit. What's up, man? Because before the game, they just kind of let us hang out on the field. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I go, I literally went up and I go, I just want to thank you, man.
Nice.
And I go, I thought as a comedian, you had to be on SNL or your fucking career was over.
Yeah.
And I go, after watching your show and what you were able to do, the realization crept in where I was just like, oh, you can kind of do whatever you want and make your own way.
Right.
SNL isn't the fucking necessary.
The most recent example of that, do you guys know Shane Gillis?
Yes.
Are you friends with Shane Gillis?
I'm not friends, but we covered that story on the show where he had said, like, some
Asian slurs.
Yeah.
And which, homophobic slurs.
We've said a million of those on this show. Right. We don't give a shit.
Right. I've never met him, but I don't know if you've watched what he's been doing recently with Gillian Keeves.
Mm-mm.
They have a sketch channel on YouTube that is fucking hilarious, dude.
Is it huge? Do they have
a big
number?
It's not huge. They might have 100,000 subs.
That's great.
That is great. But
we're shadow banned, so like, fuck. Like, no, for real. I mean, we had Alex Jones on election night, so like.
Oh, that's hilarious. He came on this show.
Correct.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out that night where he was going to be, and I completely
forgot. It was here, and there was 300,000 live viewers, and then after that, they nuked the channel of like, all right, great,
we didn't get a new subscriber for 3 months.
But he's been back on Schultz a bunch.
What's that?
He's been back on Andrew Schultz.
They had to pull that.
They had to pull it, and I reached out to Schultz, and I go, hey, dude, what happened there?
Yeah.
He goes, it's not good. He was really fucking cool. And I was just like, well, we went through the same thing. And I go, look, here's what we went through and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
We didn't get a subscriber, I think, for 6 months after that.
That's so weird.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they've done that to me sometimes, too. Because I keep seeing these comments over the past months. Just like, hey, dude, I turn on my notifications.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a bell in a year.
Yep. Yeah. That's the same exact thing.
What the
fuck? Yeah.
But anyway, Gillian Keeves, shout out to Shane Gillis. I don't know you, but you seem like a great dude. Because his YouTube channel, they're putting these sketches out, and it seems like the next Key and Peele.
Everybody said he would have potentially saved that show, but they're not doing edgy shit anymore. So, like, who knows? Maybe this is the future and everything else. What I do know is this, man. Dan and I are gigantic fans of you, all your sketches and everything you do. I don't know if SNL is in your future or not, but I think you and Stevie and those guys will make it and create a new sketch world that somebody will catch on to. Because it's not going to be Comedy Central. I don't know how long SNL is going to be on the air with the ratings and everything, but it'll all flip eventually. And I think you're in the right spot.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, brother. All the talent's always going to be there. It's just a matter of the modality, right? Like, how is the creativity getting out to the general public,
right? And that's what's flipping the whole industry right now is if you look at Stevie's putting together a feature right now that I'm gonna be in, and he's crowdfunding it $100,000, and then they're gonna release it privately for like maybe $5 or $10 per view, and they're gonna get all the money. There's no middleman, there's no distributor, there's no brokering agent that's gonna take it to the Korean film festival.
We did it on this show, so we raised $1.2 million,
amazing,
and did a movie in 2016, Range 15, and it was the highest grossing independent movie of the entire
incredible year. Dude, that's the flip of the industry now, is all these agents and managers are becoming unnecessary.
All of it. I haven't had
the
one.
The whole structure of Hollywood is becoming unnecessary.
Yeah. Unless it's related to a book of mine, I haven't had one for real, where I'm just like, what's that advance? All
right, right.
But other than that, fuck off.
Yeah, and it's been frustrating as fuck, but it's starting to hit this groove where you can actually see the effects of doing everything yourself.
Well, you know? You're getting like 70, 80, 100,000 views on Instagram, and it's just like, dude, it's only going to carry.
Yeah.
And if you guys end up doing that movie, it'll be gangbusters. Tell him to come on the show. We'll help fucking promote
thing. Yeah, definitely.
I'll shit, man. What? How far away is he from 100?
From 100 grand?
Yeah.
Last I checked, he's at like 83.
All right.
83K or something?
Hit him up after the show. Tell him to come on. I love him, dude.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll promote the shit out of that. I bet you we could get that overnight, the rest of it.
That'd be...
Is that serious?
Is it Indiegogo? Where is it?
He's slaps.vip. Even their crowdfunding is so low.
Yeah.
Even, dude, that's how solo these motherfuckers you know are why? Doing it.
Because, like, Indiegogo ended up taking 7% of
Same
ours.
Same with Kickstarter and all that shit. Mm. So it's like, all these places are so unnecessary, dude. If you make stuff, you can just do it yourself now. Yeah. It's going to be longer and harder, but the payout and the fulfillment of it is beyond anything I could have expected.
100%. Why don't we just, we'll give $1,000 now, and then we'll go on, we'll be in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
You can do that.
Just go make a cameo or something.
Or produce. I think you can get on for a producer credit, too. And
yeah, producer credit.
Yeah. He's at 82,135 out of 100,000 right now.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. I think somebody put in a couple grand and is getting like a line in it.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
While
you do that, I want to get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the person you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Oh, man. The drinking bro of the week? Dude, my best bro is my mom, dude.
Yeah.
That's my mom, dude. My mom's a shit, dude. My mom's a fucking rock star,
bro. A lot of people who come on here, again, we've done close to 1,000 episodes, say mom or dad, and it's like, it should be if you had a good relationship with them. Yeah.
No, my mom is the shit, dude. She's a teacher in California.
Oh, wow.
And we get along on pretty much everything.
That's
so
great.
Dad will tell you a lot about her. She's the shit. But if I got to pick a bro, let me pick a bro.
You can pick a bro.
Let me pick a bro.
You can pick Stevie if you want.
I could pick Stevie. I'll pick Stevie. Slapstop VIP for Stevie.
There you go.
And also JP, dude. JP for sure.
Because
JP helped me. He inspired me to just do away with the filter that I had.
Mm-hmm.
Like I used to have this filter of never touching on politics or controversial shit because I never wanted to isolate my audience.
Yeah.
And now, you know, he's helped me do that and figure out what I think is funny and what I want to put out into the world, and that's helped not isolate my audience but just make it even broader. So JP is a fucking bro.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to JP Sears. And I think there's a lot of comedians who are stuck right now.
Yeah,
the ones who aren't successful in all this shit is because they're too worried and focused on trying to please everyone. In today's society, you cannot fucking do that. Like,
yeah,
just go for it. Whatever happens after
I mean, when has prevent defense ever worked?
The Tampa Bay Bucks in like 2002.
No.
That's it. Trent Dilfer was quarterback. God damn it.
But dude, the thing I will always remember, because I played basketball my whole life through college and everything, and the number one thing was always in crunch time, good offense beats good defense 100% of the time. So being defensive in your comedy and creativity, and even in life, is never going to work, dude.
No.
It's never going to work.
No.
Be offensive, not offensive, but offensive in the sense that you know what you like, what you enjoy, what you believe in. Be offensive in the sense that you take initiative to learn about shit that you don't know enough of, and don't just take a Twitter headline out of context and start saying all this shit. Dude, that's the thought there.
Or if you are offensive, be hilarious.
Be hilarious. That's it. If you're going to be offensive, be hilarious.
Be hilarious. That's it. That's all we give a fuck about.
And stop being offended.
Yes, stop being offended.
I can't think of a bigger waste of time than being offended.
It's such a waste of time.
I mean, maybe 80 years on this planet.
Right.
How much of it are you really willing to spend worrying about how somebody else feels about something that doesn't affect you?
Yeah.
Zero amount of time.
I agree, man. I agree. Brent, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and everywhere else.
Yeah, it's at Brent Pella on Instagram, Brent Pella Comedy on Facebook, YouTube/Brent Pella. Tour day. I'm on the road a lot, doing a bunch of shows through September, San Francisco, Sacramento, Florida, Oklahoma. BrentPella.com/shows.
Yes, and follow this man on Twitter. Some of my favorite sketches on the interwebs today. Hilarious, man.
Thanks
for being on the show. This was a fucking awesome show.
This is a good time.
Usually we say that off air where we're like, all right, this was awesome. This was all right or whatever. Like, I'll say this on there. This was a fucking awesome show, dude.
Thanks,
happy
bro.
To have you, dude.
Appreciate
it was great spending a Saturday with you doing drugs and
absolutely.
And having some booze together.
Cheers to Adam Carolla.
Yes. For D'Anthony Holloway, Brent Pella, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.